In previous episodes, we discussed that the only way to break the power of the Muslims was to disunite them and make them fight against one another. In the last episode, we saw that despite this relentless attack on the unity of Muslims, numerous Muslims across the globe, Sunni and Shia together, have disowned the divisive strategy of Takfiriism. In this episode, we discuss the other edge of the imperialist sword meant to destroy the Muslims, the attack on the Khilafah. A caliphate, in Arabic Khilafah, is a political religious term which refers to the succession of the Holy Prophet Muhammad in political, governmental, and religious matters, and is sometimes referred to a government under the leadership of an Islamic steward with the title of Caliph, the Khalifa. The Caliph was considered the political and spiritual leader of the entire Muslim Ummah, the Islamic civilization at large. For about 13 centuries, numerous persons and dynasties occupied this position of leadership, introducing themselves as successors and caliphs of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Very few were virtuous among them, but most were cruel leaders who were not deserving of the Prophet's successorship. Nonetheless, still, they stole the position of leadership, the seat of Khilafah, either deceitfully or by force. During the medieval period, four major caliphates succeeded each other: the Rashidun Caliphate, the Umayyad Caliphate, the Abbasid Caliphate, and the fourth and last, the Ottoman Caliphate. The Holy Prophet Muhammad proclaimed Medina as the capital of the newly established Darul Islam, the Hijaz. He showed the heavenly light of divine guidance to the diverse native populations that had been dwelling for centuries in the Dark Ages and brought them together under the unified flag of Islam. After the Holy Prophet's demise, the position of the Caliphate functioned as the ultimate symbol of political and spiritual leadership for the Muslim masses. It was this apparent unity of the Muslims of all races and places under the leadership of the Caliph that brought great power and prestige to the Islamic civilization, triggering so-called consecutive golden ages in the history of the Muslims. All this while the majority of European civilizations continued to struggle in the Dark Ages. Without the leadership of the Caliph, this political and spiritual leadership, the world of Islam would never have had the strength to survive or the stability to thrive. The leadership of the Caliphate, with its authority over the Hijaz, and specifically the Haramain, have always been inseparably linked in the religious and political consciousness of the Muslim Ummah. It was an established fact that anyone who could succeed in severing this link could cripple the institution of the Caliphate and eventually render the world of Islam leaderless and thus powerless. As a consequence, throughout the history of Islamic civilization, when the seat of caliphate was shifted from the Hijaz to Kufa, to Damascus, to Baghdad, to Samarra, to Cairo, and even Istanbul, the caliphs always took great care to maintain their authority and control over the Hijaz, the heart of the Islamic world. This direct control of the Caliph on the Haramain continued uninterruptedly until the demise of the Ottoman Empire in the First World War. The enemies of Islam, upon realizing this integral relationship between the worldwide power of the Muslims and the Caliphate, with its control over the Haramain, paid attention, carefully studied, and understood this link. In order to plan their diabolical strategy of rendering Islam powerless, the solution was to break the Caliphate and its control over the Haramain, thus confining Islam to a personal private faith with no authority over public life. In other words, they implemented a strategy to secularize and westernize Islam and then reduce the Muslims to a disunited and leaderless people, like in the age of Jahiliyyah, roaming about blindly without purpose. If the Western civilization was ever to succeed in controlling and defeating the rapid growth and power of Islam and dissolve the Islamic world into the new secular imperialistic order that had been established by the West, the strategy required that the Hejaz should be subjected to Western influence so that the caliphate can be weakened and eventually eliminated. For there has always been an inseparable link between Islamic power and the caliphate. So long as the caliphate survived, it would always remain a sore in the eyes of the West. It would remain a manifestation of the authority of Islam over public life, a powerful symbol of the theocentric Islamic societal order, and a rallying point through which the entire world of Islam could always be mobilized into a potent force resisting the imperialistic world domination agenda. The British, realizing the paramount importance of the Hejaz and the Haramain for the legitimacy and even the survival of the Ottoman Caliphate, concentrated their strategy in the First World War on seizing the Hejaz from the control of the Ottomans. Through divide and conquer, they weakened the Ottoman Caliphate, thus destabilizing the entire structure of the Islamic Empire, all from the heart of the Muslim world. This was achieved when Sharif Hussein was successfully seduced by the British to rebel against the Ottoman Caliphate and to establish his own authority over the Hejaz under considerable financial, diplomatic, and military support from the British. After the Ottoman Caliph had lost control over the Hejaz and the Haramain, the Caliphate was so crippled that it lingered on in Istanbul for just a few years before it finally collapsed completely and died. On March 7, 1924, Sharif al-Hussein preemptively claimed the Caliphate for himself without the prior consent of the British, but the claim to the Caliphate by Sharif al-Hussein was incompatible with British imperialist objectives because it was the Caliphate itself which the British wanted to destroy in the first place. In the imperialist West's view, Sharif al-Hussein could potentially once again mobilize the Muslim world to such an extent as to re-establish the Islamic Caliphate in the powerful heartland of Islam and so pose a threat to Britain's influence and control over large parts of the Muslim world. In 1919, British troops captured the city of Jerusalem under the leadership of General Allenby, who upon entering the Holy City proclaimed, "The Crusades are now finally over." If there was any doubt of the extreme danger to Islam posed by British imperialist and anti-Islamic strategies in the Muslim world, this statement by Allenby have put those doubts to rest. What Allenby meant was that Islam was now a tiger without teeth. Its fate without a leader was to remain permanently powerless and therefore incapable of responding to the loss of Jerusalem and Western imperialist and Zionist global agendas. The objective of the imperialist West was to dismantle the entire Islamic societal order by attacking the leadership, the caliphate, so as to render Islam powerless in opposing the imperialist West and the Zionists in achieving their mission of West Asia's total domination. It was also quite clear to British imperialists and the Zionists that their regional headquarters, the State of Israel, would never be successfully established in Muslim Palestine. And even if it was established, it could never hope to survive as long as the Muslim world had a caliph, a leader capable of mobilizing its formidable resources and using its political and spiritual authority in directing them towards the resistance against Western imperialist and Zionist regional domination agendas. It was for this reason that control over the Hejaz, which was of paramount importance in the politics of the Muslim world, was a matter to which British imperialist strategy directed supreme attention. After the mishap with Sharif al-Hussein, Britain gave her blessings and knighted yet another British client in the peninsula, Abdulaziz ibn Saud. Ibn Saud's mission to move against Sharif al-Hussein and snatch control of the Hejaz. This was the perfection of the art of double-crossing and hypocrisy. One imperialist client was used to eliminate another imperialist client. By supporting Ibn Saud, the British were now ensuring that as long as the Saudi Wahhabis ruled over the Hejaz, the Caliphate would never be revived. The British further calculated that without the Caliphate, the Islamic societal order could never survive, and the world of Islam would then be so weakened that it could never be mobilized to prevent the creation of the Zionist state or interfere with the West's imperialistic desires in West Asia. Britain also knew that the Wahhabis themselves could never claim the Caliphate, since a Wahhabi Caliph with its destructive Takfiri ideology would always be totally unacceptable to the overwhelming majority of the Muslims worldwide. And so by withdrawing support and double-crossing Sharif al-Hussein and supporting Ibn Saud, British imperialists were in fact pursuing their relentless attack on the institution of the Caliphate and the theocentric Islamic societal order. To this very day, the imperialist and Zionist powers have done their best to prevent the disunited Muslim world from having righteous, pious, politically aware, and brave leaders who will stand up and oppose the oppressors of the world in attaining their satanic world domination. And thus, the oppressive authorities of the world have embarked upon placing puppet leaders all across the Muslim world who are cruel and brutal and work hand in hand with them in fulfilling their imperialistic Zionist agendas. And to this very day, the attack by the imperialist Zionist powers on the true leadership of the Muslim world continues. This onslaught can be seen when these oppressive and arrogant powers slander, oppose, defame, and murder all well-qualified spiritual leaders who fearlessly oppose them, expose their schemes, and cause serious hindrances in their plots for global domination, all because these leaders have complete faith and trust in Allah alone. The Muslim world had two qualities which made them powerful. They were united and they had unified leadership. The first step was to destroy the Caliphate, and the second was to create division, disunity, and continuous discord among the Muslims so that the possibility of a powerful caliphate emerging among the Muslims could be destroyed and buried forever. In the final episode of this season, we discuss the ongoing resistance to the Wahhabi Takfiri ideology and the fight to establish the unity of the new Muslim Ummah.